In a moment, we will hear the story of the guy we're not supposed to be. At least that's what we've always heard. The short passage, the disciple Thomas, has such a bad name that any notoriously skeptical person is still called a doubting Thomas. Is that right? But was Thomas really a doubter? Or did he clearly understand and believe in Jesus? In a moment, we will hear how Christ Jesus meets Thomas exactly where he needs and gives Thomas and us a way to gain understanding in the way that Thomas needs. In this case, through his body, through the sense of touch. The other disciples have already seen Jesus' wounds while they were hiding out in a locked room. This is the risen Christ. Where was Thomas during that time? Maybe he was out getting supplies or gathering information. Rather than being locked away and hidden, maybe he's the bravest of the bunch. In any case, he returns from his errands. And when he hears from the others that they have seen Christ, he says that he'll have to see and touch Christ in order to believe. See and touch Christ. It's one of those be careful what you ask for or you might get it moments in the Bible. Jesus appears and says, reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Jesus does not say, as we will hear, believe only in things you cannot see. Jesus comes gently to Thomas and asks for touch, affirming the wisdom and knowledge we gain from paying attention to our bodies, our own and other people's. Jesus goes on to say, blessed are those who believe without seeing. But he does not say, more blessed are those who believe without seeing. He does not say, you are not blessed because you had to see to believe. In fact, Jesus presents his own body as a gift to Thomas. And he gives Thomas the gift of using and trusting in his own senses, in his own body. Thomas sees, hears, touches. And Thomas understands and immediately calls Christ by his true name, Messiah, my Lord and my God. So I'd like to rename this story as the story of Thomas the Believer. I'd like to use it as a window into permission to use all the senses we have and the gifts that they give us to celebrate our own relationship with the risen Christ. Jesus understood the importance of learning with our bodies. But in many, many ways in the church, we have taken Jesus' emphasis on his own body and the bodies of others away from him. In fact, Jesus healed with touch throughout his ministry. He spit once into mud to make a paste with which he would heal a blind man. Before he was crucified, he sealed his relationships with his disciples by washing their feet, an act of love and intimacy and care. Our bodies are so often the repositories of shame and frustration. We don't look like some imagined ideal. We are sick. We are disabled. Our bodies carry memories of abuse or addiction. It is important to honor and to heal those broken places. But also, and I think this is what Christ was up to when he gave Thomas the gift of touch, it's important to remember and give thanks for the many joyful gifts that our bodies give us. Usually the sermon time is a time for me to talk and you to listen. So in honor of Backwards Day today, I'd like to turn that on its head a bit and invite you into an activity with me if you would. Sometimes these kind of guided meditation things are really meaningful and beautiful, and other times they are not for individuals. So I would invite you even more than usual, if this is not working for you, to just find your own place in your mind and go there. Of course, you're always welcome to do that during the sermon, but more so today than other days. Let's try getting in touch with our senses, the way that Thomas did, and see if it can help us to feel closer to the risen Christ. First of all, just get comfortable in your seat. These pews are nice and cozy. You may close your eyes if that will help you to experience the memory of your senses more fully. We'll begin by taking 3 deep breaths. Breathe in through your nose. Breathe out through your mouth. Remember, the Hebrew word for breath is ruah, as you breathe in and ruah out. Thank your body for your lungs and your heart. First, we will celebrate the gift of smell. As you take another deep breath in through your nose, remember the ways that your sense of smell has been a gift or brought you joy. Think of your favorite fragrances. What are they? Are they nature's perfumes, like certain flowers? The aromas of cooking? The scents of certain places or buildings? Can you think of a time when your sense of smell helped you to experience Christ's presence in your life? Take a moment to thank your body for the gift of smell. We have tasted the bread and juice of communion. Now we celebrate the gift of taste. Breathe in through your nose. As you do this, remember ways in which your sense of taste has been a gift. When has your sense of taste brought you joy? Remember salty and sweet. Think of the texture of food on your tongue. Can you think of a time when your sense of taste helped you to experience Christ's presence in your life? Take a moment to thank your body for the gift of taste. Now we celebrate the gift of hearing. Remember ways in which your sense of hearing has been a gift. When has your sense of hearing brought you joy? Imagine now your favorite sounds. What are they? Loud sounds and soft ones? Familiar sounds and unfamiliar ones? Can you think of a time when your sense of hearing helped you to experience Christ's presence in your life? Take a moment to thank your body for the gift of hearing. Let's celebrate the gift of sight. Remember ways in which the sense of sight has been a gift. Think of your favorite things to see. What are they? Remember colors, contrast. Can you think of a time when your sense of sight helped you to understand Christ's presence in your life? Take a moment to thank your body for the gift of sight. Finally, like Thomas, we celebrate the gift of touch. Remember ways in which your sense of touch has been a gift. When has touch brought you joy? Remember textures and shapes. Can you think of a time when your sense of touch helped you to experience Christ's presence in your life? As you take another deep breath, give thanks to your lungs, to your heart. When you are ready to return to this room, open your eyes. We, each of us, are different from one another. We, each of us, have a story that's unique. We, each of us, meet Christ in our own particular way. And yet, here's what we have in common. Each one of us, each one of you and me, arrived here this morning in a body. Now, those bodies are not always all that we hope that they would be. Sometimes they disappoint us. Sometimes they let us down. But when Jesus spoke those first words at that first communion supper 2,000 years ago, he said, "This is my body." He did not say, "This is my spirit." In spite of all that divides us, Jesus knew, and Thomas came to understand, the one thing that unites us as humans is that we all arrived here in a body. Real communion begins with understanding that. Listen now, my friends, for the word of God. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. And I need to insert an editorial comment here to remind you that Jesus and all of his disciples were Jewish. And when it says for fear of the Jews, it meant for fear of the temple authorities. So let's hear that again. When Jesus and the disciples, when the disciples had met and were locked for fear of the temple authorities, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I sent you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing, you may have life in his name. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.